We appreciate Brother Bonner working diligently with us this evening. I think you made some progress, sir. We certainly appreciate you, and we appreciate all of the help that you have been to us. We want to talk to you this evening about two of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament period. Two of the greatest prophets of God, prophets of Israel. Two very colorful prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Elijah said unto Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. We also read in verse number 4, Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. Looking at verse number 6, "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on." Elijah was about to be taken away by God into heaven by a whirlwind. Elijah had as his companion and kind of understudy Elisha. And Elisha was determined that he was not going to leave Elijah. And the reason why Elisha was determined not to leave Elijah was because he wanted the blessing promised him if he saw Elijah go into heaven. As a matter of fact, he said, "Now what I want is, I want a double portion of your spirit." And of course in verse 10, Elijah said to Elisha, "Thou hast asked a hard thing." This is a tough one. You want a double portion of my spirit? You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. The prophets and the sons of the prophets, apparently, as we look in the context of this passage, had knowledge of the fact that the prophet Elijah was to soon be taken away from them and away from the earth with a whirlwind. I don't know exactly when that was revealed to them, but it is obvious that they were aware of what was about to happen to Elijah. And Elisha was determined to stick with Elijah to the very end. And every time Elijah tried to dissuade him from staying with him, Elisha reaffirmed his commitment. He said, "As thy soul liveth, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. He had a spirit that said, regardless of what happens, I'm going to stick with you until the very end. That spirit says to us, don't quit. That spirit says to us, don't give up. As we've emphasized, three times Elijah gave Elisha an opportunity to stay behind. But each time Elisha refused, he would not quit. The first of those times is mentioned in verse number 2 of 2 Kings 2. But Elisha, for us, is a great example for us to stick with it. He is a great example for us to have a determined spirit. When we are involved in anything that is positive, anything that is good, anything that promotes our overall well-being, it is important that we do not quit. It is important that we do not give up. I want to suggest, first of all, that we should not quit in our spiritual pursuits. This was Elisha's circumstance. He wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit, and he would not give up until he had it. My question is to you, are you on a spiritual pursuit today and are thinking about quitting? Are you on a spiritual pursuit today and are thinking about giving up? Maybe you started to read the Bible through in a year, and this is the last part of March. Maybe you have gotten tired of reading every day, and you've gotten disinterested, and you might have become bored, and you might be tempted to give up reading the Bible through in a year because you've grown weary. If you are tempted to give up, I advise you don't. There are great blessings to be derived from pursuing this kind of goal, of pursuing reading God's word some each and every day. Do not lose the special blessings that are yours to enjoy and yours to benefit from, that come from a constant, regular, daily reading from God's divine word. You should not allow any day to pass without studying the word of God. You might be in school. You might be not too far from graduating, and you might just be real frustrated, and you might be on the very brink of quitting, on the very brink of dropping out, on the very brink of giving up. Maybe your grades have become poorer and poorer. Maybe your study habits have deteriorated. Maybe the workload that the teacher has been placing upon you has been very difficult and challenging for you. And you feel like, well, I've had enough of this school stuff. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. I would advise you to have the spirit and the attitude demonstrated by Elisha. He was committed to stick with Elijah to the very end. Remember, Elijah told Elisha, said, now, you want a double portion of my spirit, you can have it. It's hard, but you can have it. But in order for you to have it, you're going to have to see me when I am taken up from you. If you see me when I'm taken up from you, then you will be granted a double portion of my spirit. But if you don't see me when I go up into heaven, you're not going to be granted that double portion. Elisha was determined that he wanted and he was going to get that double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you could almost taste it? So bad that you were willing to do whatever it was, that you were willing to do whatever it took in order for you to claim that particular objective, to claim that particular prize that you were in quest of. Sometimes you can almost make it to your goal and give up. Sometimes you can almost reach the prize and quit. And it's very tempting to quit in life. It's tempting to quit school before graduating. It's tempting to quit school before you obtain your degree. And some people say, well, it's just hard. It just takes too much of my time. I don't have time to live. But if you can just hang in there, if you can just stick with it until the very end, you will receive tremendous rewards that you otherwise would never become the recipients of. You might be tempted to quit your job. There may be times when it is advisable to change jobs. However, too many quit their jobs before they have had time to progress and to grow and to advance on the job. When the first difficulty or hard day comes along, many decide to quit and look for another job. Well, the boss just wasn't treating me fair. Well, they were putting too much work on me. And I just got tired of having to deal with the boss. So I told him I quit. Oftentimes, more times than not, people with that kind of mindset and mentality, when they go and just on the spur of the moment, impetuously quit a job, say, I quit. You can take this job and y'all know the rest. That's a dangerous and destructive pattern to pursue. Such a course of action is not wise. You will never do well in your work if you keep quitting your job whenever something comes up that you do not like. And I've known folks go from job to job to job to job. Sometimes they don't stay on a job 2 weeks before somebody has ticked them off, somebody has upset them, somebody has made them mad, somebody's told them to do something they didn't want to do, and they just said, well, I quit. You know, I'm out of here. When you're tempted to quit, don't. Don't quit your marriage. So many marriages today end up on the rocks. You will make a huge mistake if you quit your marriage. There are great dividends in staying loyal to your marriage vows. I know sometimes it becomes very challenging. Sometimes it becomes very difficult. Sometimes it becomes very discouraging. Sometimes you might feel that there's no way out, but I would advise you to put forth every effort to try to stay in your marriage, to try to stick with your mate, and to strive to work things out. Elizabeth Taylor bless her heart, was married and divorced 8 times, the late Elizabeth Taylor. Of course, she married at least 2 of her husbands twice and divorced them twice. I believe Eddie Fisher, she married twice and divorced him twice. Richard Burton, I think she married him twice and divorced him twice. But she, and I don't know her business, I don't know exactly what all happened, but she quit. She quit each and every one of those marriages. She gave up. She said, I'm out of here. And I guess after you've been married 4 or 5 times, when you marry that next time, you probably have the attitude, well now, you know from my track record, if things get a little rough, if things act as if they're not going to work out, I'll bail out on you. I'll quit. Somebody claims she said to her 8th husband, I won't be with you long. But she wasn't with any of them relatively long because she gave up. It is my firm conviction that if you have 2 people together in a marriage relationship, and if they love God, and if they genuinely love each other, nothing can happen in their marriage that cannot be worked out. Sometimes our problems are magnified and overblown. I know they're serious problems. Remember, I've been married for 33 years. And if the Lord blesses me, I trust I'll be married till the day I die. I don't know when that might be. But things have not always been peaches and cream. Things have not always gone well. We've had our challenges, but we deeply love each other. And we've always maintained a spirit of forgiveness. And she has forgiven me a number of times. And I'm thankful for it. And I think now that she loves me more than she ever has before. We spent some time on the mountaintop, but we've also spent periods of time in the valley. We've come through and enjoyed and basked in the sunshine of matrimonial bliss. But yet, they say into every life some rain must fall. We've been through some rainy and some stormy times as well. And she, in 33 years, hadn't knocked me in the head yet. One of the reasons is she couldn't catch me. But I'm very thankful for her. And with both of us being a part of God's family, it has made a tremendous difference. And both of us loving the Lord has made a big difference. Brother Warren wrote a book years ago, Marriage is for Those Who Love God and Each Other. And I always say, in selecting a mate, if you want to stick with them through thick and thin, sickness and in health, select somebody to marry that loves God more than they love you. Because if they love God supremely and give God a place of priority, and preeminence in their lives. You don't have to ever worry about them doing you no real harm or deliberately knocking you in the head. That was a lady that lived right next door to the parsonage when I was in Texas. And I'm told that because she was very angry with her spouse, that she boiled some hot water and poured it on his head. I just feel like if you love God and if you love your mate, you won't do that kind of thing. Another lady whose husband had been very abusive. He was an alcoholic. He'd come home and beat her. Then he'd just go to bed and just fall out and go to sleep. And he'd stay asleep for hours. So she got tired of that. One day what she decided to do was she got a needle and thread. She put the cover over him. And she sewed the cover all the way around to the mattress. And she re-sewed it all the way around. And she got a broom. And she whipped him until she got tired. And he was just a hollering. He was just a begging for mercy. But she whipped him good. But now, folks who are Christians, who love the Lord and love each other, won't have to resort to those kinds of tactics. And I hope I hadn't put no untoward notions in anybody's head tonight. So y'all just forget about that, you know, like they say in court. The members of the jury they'll disregard those statements. But in order to keep from quitting on your marriage, you need to follow and practice the concept of love as is described in 1 Corinthians 13. Starting with verse number 4. Love suffers long. It's extraordinarily patient and is kind. Love envies not. It is not puffed up. It is not proud. It's not boastful. It does not behave itself unseemly. It is not selfish. It does not seek its own way. It is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity or wrongdoing or sin, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. In essence, love outlasts problems. If we just follow, and it's awful simple. It's awful easy to be understood. If we'll follow the principles of love set forth in this passage, we will not yield to the temptation to quit in our marriages. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul explains to husbands how to love their wives. He uses two illustrations. He says that a husband is to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a sacrificial love. And if a husband has difficulty understanding that he's to love his wife like he loves the church. And this is from Ephesians chapter 5. You can start with verse 25 and keep reading. If he has difficulty understanding that he's to love his wife like Christ loved the church, then he can understand maybe a little bit better. The husband is to love his wife as himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ the church. Everybody's going to try to take pretty good care of themselves. Everybody's going to make sure that they are kept from harm. Everybody's going to make sure that they are fed. Everybody's going to make sure that they are well provided for, that they are well taken care of, that they are protected, that security is maintained for themselves. And so if a husband uses that same standard, if he will love his wife just like he loves himself, he won't make her want to leave him. And he definitely will not want to leave her. Brother Ben Foster at Southwestern Christian College, he said he told his wife, "So you're not going to leave me." He said, "If you leave me, I'm going with you." And I know that's a good thought, but they've been married longer than I have been married. And there are many people who've been married for many years, and they're still married. And they still love each other. They're still committed to each other, and they're still committed to God. But they have not yielded to the temptation to quit. They have decided to stick it out. Marriage is not something to just be endured, but it's something to enjoy. And it's something to grow. It's something to develop. I believe that every person who really loves the Lord and who is a committed child of God, every couple that is married has the possibility and the potential of developing and cultivating not just a good marriage, but a great marriage. Amen. And I believe there's room for improvement in every marriage. No marriage is so perfect. No marriage is so on the ball that there's not room for improvement, that there's not room for growth. But from the example of Elisha, the prophet, don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit your job at the drop of a hat. Don't quit your education. Don't quit your spiritual pursuits. Don't give up. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. If you faint not, if you don't lose heart, if you don't throw in the towel, if you don't quit. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win but think you can't, it's almost a cinch you won't. If you think you will lose, you are lost. For out in this world we find success begins with a person's will. It's all in your state of mind. If you think you are outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself if you're going to ever win the prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. But soon or late, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. You don't have to quit. You can win with school. You can win with spiritual pursuits. You can win on the job. You can win with your marriage. And you can have a fantastic marriage if you'll follow biblical principles right there in your own Bible. Don't quit. If you're here and you are a child of God and you've fallen by the wayside, maybe you've thrown in the towel spiritually, you can start off again. You can resume your walk with the Lord through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you're here and you have not begun to live for the Lord, you've not turned your life over to him, you can do that tonight through obedience to the gospel of Christ, belief in the gospel that Jesus died, he was buried, he was resurrected on the third day for your sins and mine, according to the scriptures. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and arise from that watery grave to walk in the newness of life. And being a child of God will help you in every area of your life. If you're here and you want to commit your life to the Lord or recommit your life to the Lord, we ask you to do it right now as we together stand.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his graces? How are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your God.